Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you doing today?
I'm a popsicle. It's so cold.
It's not that cold. It feels good.
Well, maybe down where you live. Up here, it's cold.
We're in, like, the 60s right now.
It's like the 50s here, so...
That's fine. 50s is good. It's Florida. No. It's never cold.
It's cold.
Okay. Well, I welcome our cold overlords.
Good old Jack Frost. He's a friend of mine.
Yeah, I should have used that. But, yeah. Hey, guys. We're back again. I learned yesterday, which we are recording this on Sunday, so that would be Saturday, that we are having some issues with our iTunes feed. Some people weren't able to download episodes. I had some trouble myself. I think it was something to do with our feed distributor, because if you went to our website, you could still download them just fine. But I checked this morning, everything's running just fine. Every episode is working, so I hope that it stays that way. Please contact me on Twitter, Facebook, or wherever if you have a problem, because I would like to know about it. I do not routinely just, you know, check our episodes all the time to see if they're working. I want to trust the giant company to do what it's supposed to do. No comment from the peanut gallery, Matt?
Not on that one, sorry.
Okay. But anyway, yes, please, if you like us, please rate, review, subscribe on iTunes or your pod catcher of choice. Really helps us out, gets us more listeners, gets more eyes on the podcast. And we really appreciate it if you would help us with that. This week, we are doing Bart versus Thanksgiving. It is now November, so this episode is topical. It is episode 7F07, originally aired November 22nd, 1990. It was written by George Meyer, directed by David Silverman. Chalkboard. I will not do that thing with my tongue.
Which is just, no, kids should not say things like that, please.
There's a way you can look at it in a very innocent way, and then there's also a way you can look at it in a very not so innocent way. The couch gag is, they find Grandpa sleeping on the couch, which, Thanksgiving episode, it's appropriate. Family members are generally, Thanksgiving generally are naps, couch naps after turkey.
That's like the best part of any holiday, is sleeping after eating a lot.
I can't argue. This originally, an original broadcast, it was 37th in the ratings for the week. Got a Nielsen rating of 11.9, equivalent to approximately 11 million viewing households, if you actually trust the Nielsen ratings. It was the third highest rated show on Fox, following Married with Children and In Living Color.
Good old In Living Color.
That's the show we've been forgetting about, In Living Color. That's the other competition.
Good old Fireman Bill.
Yeah. In Living Color. This is a great show. Yeah, this is the Thanksgiving episode. First Thanksgiving episode the Simpsons have done. Have they done it? I feel like they've done other Thanksgiving episodes.
Yeah, they've done several since this.
It starts off with Marge ripping out guts out of a turkey, which...
tasty.
That's so gross. I don't think most people actually get turkeys with the giblets anymore.
I think... Yes, they do.
They... Who? Who are these people?
My fiance's family.
Ugh, gross.
Yeah.
They make it so you don't have to do that, guys. You don't have to rip out the guts anymore.
Let somebody else do it.
Yeah. We have Bart and Lisa fighting over glue, which Bart only wants the glue because Lisa also wants the glue. Which they're fighting it. That's a little foreshadowing for what happens later in the episode. We get, you know, it's a typical Thanksgiving scene. Marge is cooking dinner. The kids are kind of, you know, hanging around. Lisa is making a centerpiece. Homer's watching football. And Thanksgiving Day Parade, which is a little funny little bit. Because we see on the TV, we see a balloon of Bullwinkle, Bullwinkle J. Moose, and Underdog. And Bart asks, you know, who they are, because he does not recognize those cartoon characters. And Homer makes a quip about, if they turned every Flash in the Pan cartoon character into a balloon, it would be a farce. And then we see a Bart balloon float across the screen.
When was the Bart balloon introduced?
I want to say it was pretty early on in the show. We do have the interwebs. Let's see. 1991.
Oh, so yeah, very quickly.
Yeah, 1991 was the year after this. They had a Bart balloon. So we see Maggie kind of wandering up the stairs, avoiding like the landmines that pepper it.
It's the Simpsons. Any household with kids knows that there's nowhere you can step on stairs without crushing yourself.
But we come to see Maggie watch. She comes to quote-unquote help Lisa create the centerpiece that Lisa's been working on. It's really elaborate, really beautiful centerpiece. She makes a note to mention it's about feminists, Georgia O'Keeffe, Susan B. Anthony, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, who, if you did not know, helped preserve the Everglades.
One of the few things that we did know.
Yes. If you're in Florida, you kind of, those Florida ecology facts are drilled into you at a young age. Maggie helps by drawing on it on the corner of it with crayon.
It's and at least it gives her a hug.
Yeah, it's pretty cute, actually. It's a really nice moment. Bart tries to help Marge make dinner, but like a kid, generally just gets in the way. He dumps the cranberry sauce out into like the can shape, and the cranberry sauce just falls.
Wait, it's not supposed to be like that?
I'm told that there are people who make cranberries from scratch.
Wait, I thought cranberries come from a can.
No, they do not. They are an actual berry that you can make the actual, like, the sauce stuff from scratch, and it looks nothing like the stuff that comes from a can. But my entire life, I had the canned stuff. So I've actually the stuff from scratch is really good. It just takes it takes work. So Homer is gambling on the Cowboys. We hear again the announcers talk about Wallace Wolodarski, one of the writers for the show. I think Jake Hogan is also mentioned, and they're a writing team. And then he's, again, terrible as a football player. I think that's
obviously, you can't be a writer and be good as a football player. That's crazy.
I was pretty decent in high school.
But were you a good writer then?
For a high school kid? No, I probably wasn't bad for a high schooler. Patty and Selma show up. They have food, which Marge is upset that they brought food. They complain about her dry turkey. Which, brine your turkey, Marge.
Seriously.
That's the solution. Brine
salt it. Water, all it takes.
Yep. It's halftime. Hooray for Everything plays, which is a parody of Up With People, which is a very, I mean, this is before they had pop stars basically just do the halftime show every year. I think they pay for it now. I think pop stars pay to be in the halftime show.
That's what they were trying to get them to do. But
okay. No, are they actually successful?
No one has paid them yet. So,
okay,
we'll see at the Super Bowl this year.
I guess so. It's true. So at this point, Homer goes to pick up his father from the retirement home.
The retirement village. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you for not discussing the outside world is the sign on the outside. He quickly grabs Grandpa and escapes. And, you know, it's a very dreary. I think that is very one thing that stayed consistent throughout the entire run of The Simpsons is that the retirement village is depressing.
That's true, but it does get a little nicer once Grandpa gets some money.
Well, I think anything once you get money is a lot better.
Well, because remember, he fixes it up after he gets Beatrice's inheritance.
Yeah, it's true, but then that doesn't really necessarily stay in canon, does it?
It still looks the same, pretty much. It's just still really depressing to be there because it's full of old people.
Old people whose families
have given up on them.
Yeah, yes. Dump them there. We get the first on-screen appearance of Marge's mother, Jackie Bouvier, who has laryngitis, is also voiced by Julie Kavner.
And looks exactly the same as Marge.
Yeah, they look the same, and she basically just insults Marge and her family the entire time. What I think her official words are, I have laryngitis, so I won't say much, but you've never done anything right, or something along those lines.
You never do anything right. The wisdom of the elders.
Yeah, Marge's mother. I guess this is the first glimpse into why, I think, what was it, Moaning Lisa, we get a little bit into Marge's upbringing. But this is another glimpse into her mother and why maybe Marge is a little obsessive at times. They sit down for dinner, and Lisa brings out her centerpiece. It is beautiful. It's really a great centerpiece.
It's beautiful, but like all centerpieces, it's completely useless.
We're not all as pragmatic as you are, Matt. Some of us like aesthetic beauty.
Well, that's great, but it doesn't belong on the table. That's where the food belongs.
You and your food. Bart comes out with the turkey, and he shares an opinion much like yours. And, you know, he's like, get it. That's prime real estate. And, you know, there's a tug back and forth between Bart and Lisa, and the centerpiece goes straight into the fireplace where there's a smoldering fire and gone in a second.
Which means she used a lot of oil-based paint and or glue.
Yeah, it went up very quickly. Lisa's obviously upset, crying, runs up to her room. Bart is also banished to his room with Marge's exact words, "You've ruined Thanksgiving."
Haven't we all been told that at one time or another?
I don't think I've ever been told that I've ruined Thanksgiving.
That's true. Thanksgiving is pretty hard to ruin.
I know.
Other holidays, though.
All you do is quietly drink and eat turkey. That's all you have to do on Thanksgiving.
Best holiday.
Yeah, I mean, it's a food holiday. You just eat. That's all it is. Every other holiday has some kind of pretense. Thanksgiving, you just eat until you want to kill yourself.
Makes you feel American.
We get a dinner table with no kids, and Homer says a prayer, which I makes some comment about imploring the Lord to, you know, about the quality of his family.
And nuclear power. Don't forget nuclear
power. Oh, yes, yes. It is. Actually, he's pretty accurate about that, despite the accidents. It is pretty much the... But although he is wrong about the solar power.
That's true. Now he is wrong. Back then,
solar power was a pipe dream in 1990. But now, it's really not. It's getting more affordable. Marge goes up to the kids, and Homer's like, Marge will fix everything. Which that really encompasses their relationship right there, where he's like, Marge will fix it. I love Marge. She fixes it. So she goes to talk to Lisa. Lisa's playing her saxophone. She's really sad, upset. You know, and she's like, you know, we'll be down there whenever ready. You can come down and eat with us whenever, you know, if you feel bad. She's like, it's okay. It'll be all right. Then she talks to Bart, you know, doesn't even go inside. She's like, you can come out when you make a real apology to your sister. And Bart,
being a typical young boy.
Yeah, being a young male child, just immediately thinks that he's the one being persecuted. That, oh, whatever, I just destroyed one little thing and everyone made such a big deal about it. No one has a sense of humor, blah, blah, blah. So he grabs Santa's little helper and runs away.
Because that's what you do to show him a lesson.
Yes, you run away from your family and have not eaten dinner. His first stop is the Burns house, which... For those people with the hawk eyes, you can see he lives on the corner of Croesus and Mammon. I know Mammon I pronounced correctly. I do not know about Croesus, but they are both mythological figures of greed. So it makes sense it makes sense that Burns lives there. Smithers has prepared Burns a massive feast in which Burns probably eats a shred of. A small percentage, and the rest is going to get thrown away.
Well, of course, if you just gave it to homeless people, that would be a waste, Robbie.
And there's a pie on the windowsill, which we see Bart, like, prancing around the grounds, trying to secretly get food. He reaches to grab the pie, and there's a laser defense grid around the pie.
Which obviously is the most important and valuable thing Mr. Burns has, so I would certainly defend pie.
Pie's pretty good. But this is, we do get Burns saying, release the hounds. Alerting the security, they release the hounds. One of the security guards is reading Les Miserables. So, I guess we're meant to believe that the Burns security guards, even to security guards, are...
Classier. More upper crust.
Upper crust, you're right. There you go. At this point, we cut back and Lisa is writing in her diary. And I really, really like this. Because it's really interesting that, you know, she cares for Bart regardless of the fact that he has destroyed her work, which she spent countless hours on. And she actually reads, she's writing, and it's reminiscent of, she's writing a poem that we find out later on. That is reminiscent of Allen Ginsberg's Howl. When you see it on our shelves, we see other beat poets on the shelves. There's also, that I'm going to bring this up later when we talk about newsgroup postings, there is a poster, an anti-apartheid poster. This is before South Africa did away with apartheid. So there's an anti-apartheid poster. So I want you guys to keep that in mind, and I'll bring it up again after we finish the episode. But we have pulled this clip. It's really wonderful. There's a lot of the best parts of this episode, I think, are really the emotional parts, both Lisa and Bart and the family to a certain extent. And this is a nice example of it. So here you go.
I saw the best meals of my generation destroyed by the madness of my brother. My soul carved in slices by spiky-haired demons.
So we hear Lisa lamenting her life, family, brother. And we cut back to Bart. He's wandering around trying to find food, having escaped the hounds at Burns Manor. And he goes over to the wrong side of the tracks, quote unquote. And then he says that exact same thing. Like, he crosses the railroad tracks instantly. It's just like, the ghetto. It's just, sirens and gunshots. I think that's the Simpsons signals for you're in the bad part of town.
Plus, everything's dirty. The colors are drab.
Yeah, that's true.
Lots of homeless people.
Homeless people. He's looking for a way to get food. He sees that the blood bank has a Thanksgiving special. And he gives blood using Homer's ID, which gives him, what, $12?
Hey, that's pretty good for back then.
That's not bad for early 90s. But he passes out in the gutter from lack of blood. The blood banks in Springfield apparently are not too discerning about, you know, minors giving blood.
Hey, he had ID.
The blood bank and the tattoo parlor, they must be run by the same place.
I'm sure.
Yeah. But a couple of bums who are, you know, nice homeless people, find him and, you know, help him out, take him to the homeless shelter where they're doing Thanksgiving dinner. And at this point, you know, Bart is like, yeah, free dinner. You know, and
Viva Skid Row.
Yeah, exactly. And Kent Brockman's there, and he's doing a puff piece about, you know, Thanksgiving and the homeless, and look how good we are, blah, blah. But at the same time, Lisa is reading the poem that we hear her writing earlier, and then she's interrupted by them seeing Bart on television.
So she gets pushed to the side once again.
Once again. Poor Lisa. And Bart even makes he brags on television, ha ha ha, I didn't apologize. Which, yeah, he does not learn his lesson. He's not learned his lesson at this point. We start to see him learn a little bit. Because as, you know, they're leaving the shelter, and, oh yeah, and someone makes the comment, oh, I'll see you again at Christmas. All the homeless people are, you know, they're settling in for the night, you know, in stoops, in alleyways. Like, Bart quickly realizes that they're... lives are not glamorous. Yes, they get free food this one time a year, but the rest of the time they are suffering. And, you know, he's wandering home. Same time, Eddie and Lou are at Simpson's house with Marge and Homer telling them what happened, blah, blah, blah. Homer and Marge are starting to, like, feel a little bit guilty because they feel responsible for Bart running away, even though they did what parents do when a child does something bad.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean,
you ruined Thanksgiving is a little rough, but otherwise, send it to your room without dinner isn't that crazy.
No, plus Bart's a malevolent genius in a way, so...
Yeah, he's emotionally manipulative and very good at it. But, you know, and they're talking about, oh, are we responsible? What should we do? Blah, blah, blah. And Bart is back. He's outside the house. He just doesn't know if he wants to go in or not. And at this point, he has a little bit of a dream sequence, a little bit of imagining what's going to happen once he goes inside. And it alternates. The first one is, oh, they love him and miss him. But he quickly downplays that to the second scenario in which they all hate him and blame him for what happened, including Maggie.
Yeah, because obviously Bart's the reason she can't talk. I mean, come on. Yeah.
But we have that clip. And we're going to play it for you right now.
You're home! Oh, my special little guy! We were so worried!
Oh, it's great to have you back, boy. We were afraid we'd lost you.
Welcome back, Bart! I'm sorry we had such a terrible fight.
Bart, isn't there something you'd like to say to your sister?
Okay. I'm sorry, too.
No, no, no! That won't do at all!
Yeah, boy, get down on your knees and beg for forgiveness!
Yeah, beg me, Bart. Beg me.
Lisa, I beg of you, please forgive me!
Now we can blame him for everything!
It's your fault I'm bald!
I'm sorry.
It's your fault I'm old!
I'm sorry.
It's your fault I can't talk!
I'm sorry.
It's your fault America has lost its way.
I'm sorry.
It's all your fault.
I'm sorry. 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 I'm sorry, all right. Sorry I came back here.
Bart decides he sees that the convenient tree that moves around
that changes size so often.
Yeah, that changes size, shape, and location. The Simpsons tree. It's sometimes there's a tree out in front. Sometimes there's a tree on the side. Sometimes whatever.
It's obviously an ent.
We got a Tolkien crossover, and I'm fairly certain that there's been a Halloween episode that they've done Lord of the Rings parodies.
Oh yeah.
He climbs to the roof and he's kind of overjoyed that because he's had years of lost footballs and dodgeballs and boomerangs and kites and everything is just stranded up there in the roof. And he plays around a little bit up there. He's like, he's just playing with himself. But at the same time, Lisa is in her bedroom writing some more and she starts crying. She's upset. Bart is gone and they don't know where he is. And despite the fact that he did something bad to her earlier, she really misses him, and I think she feels a little bit guilty, even though she knows she shouldn't.
Well, she's a little kid, and she knows that Bart ran away because of her. So it is her fault, even though she can't really blame herself for what happened.
Right. But she's crying, and Bart on the roof overhears her through a vent. And this particular scene is really, really wonderful. I really like when she looks up, she peeks her head out of her window, her bedroom window, and then Bart peeks his head over the edge of the roof, and we just see like the top half of his head. And I think it's really kind of a little charming, cute moment where they like, you know, they're seeing each other again since this traumatic moment where Bart burnt her centerpiece.
It's a very childlike thing, and that's one of the things that doesn't happen as much as you'd think it would be, is treating them as children rather than just as people with different personalities.
Lisa, like, acrobats her way up there, up onto the roof. We don't really see how she does it. I assume it also involves that tree, the treant. And they have a heart-to-heart conversation about forgiveness. And it's very touching. And Bart actually, this is where Bart actually, the thing that he's, I think, slowly been learning through the course of this episode finally clicks with it. And we have this clip. And it's really good. So we're going to play it for you.
Bart, what are you doing up here? Everybody's worried.
Really? Did they cry?
Yes.
Whoa, bullseye.
Bart, why did you burn my centerpiece?
Oh, come on.
Was it because you hate me? Or because you're bad?
I don't know. I don't know why I did it. I don't know why I enjoyed it. And I don't know why I'll do it again.
Just tell me you're sorry.
Why should I?
Bart, the only reason to apologize is if you look deep down inside yourself and you find a spot. Something you wish wasn't there. Because you feel bad, you hurt your sister's feelings.
Leave me alone.
Just look.
Okay, okay. Looking for a spot. Still checking. Oh, this is so stupid. I'm not going to find anything. Just because I wrecked something she worked really hard on and I made her Uh-oh. I'm sorry, Lisa.
Apology accepted.
You know, Marge, we're great parents.
So, you know, we have this moment where Bart is, Lisa just asks him to look inside and see, you know, this is what it feels like to be sorry and to actually truly be sorry. And if you do that, you should apologize. And he looks and he's like, no, I'm fine. And then he looks inside and he finds that. And he apologizes to Lisa. They hug, right?
Yeah, they definitely do hug. And it's funny because I feel like this is almost an instruction manual for sociopaths to, if you don't understand what feeling bad and when you need to apologize, this is how you know when that happens.
I think that's what puts Bart apart from a sociopath, because he looks inside and he does feel guilty. The sociopath would just look inside and find nothing.
Well, that's true.
He would just find emptiness. But they apologize. Marge and Homer aren't they listening in or something like that?
Yeah, Homer's got his head out the bathroom window, standing on the toilet.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a great visual.
Yeah, they're. I think it's interesting that they let the kids sort it out amongst themselves. That they didn't immediately just storm out to the roof. That they actually went, you know, let's see what happens between them.
Well, it's funny because when Homer says, you know, Marge, we're great parents, In that situation, yeah, they're doing pretty good.
Yeah, they did a good job. They have leftovers in the kitchen. I'm not sure if it's that later that night or if it's in the morning.
It seems like that night, because I think Bart came home at dusk. He and Lisa talked as it was getting dark, and then they had their, you know, late night dinner.
Which, you know, you eat turkey at 3. You're hungry again at dinner time. Exactly. There's time for more turkey.
And pie.
And pie. Hell yeah. Pie. Anything? And that wraps up the episode. Episodes of them just eating leftovers. Which I think is a nice little charming end to this episode. Any other specific things you want to touch on?
Well, I mean, we'll probably go into this a little more, but yeah. It's a very emotionally heavy episode. It's a little bit light on the jokes. They're there, you know, here and there, especially when Bart's out on a walkabout. But for the most part, it's very much heavy on, you know, the interaction between the family and who they are. So it's a good episode.
Yeah, I agree with you. It is a little bit tropey because it's a holiday episode. It's hard for them not to do that. And it is, there are jokes in there, but it's not as jam packed, jokes as, you know, necessarily as like, as Dead Putting Society or Bart Gets an F.
They're very subtle jokes too.
Yeah. I mean, there's the kind of meta humor with Bart having a balloon on TV. There's the Kent Brockman doing the puff piece about homeless people on Thanksgiving. There's a lot of familial relations jokes about Patty and Selma and Marge and her mother and then grandpa, stuff like that. But yeah, overall, but the emotional moments do hit hard in home. They feel real. They're not fake. Like, I think the biggest example is probably Homer's Night Out.
Yes.
Where it felt a little, just kind of a forced emotional moment. And this feels genuine. And we will rank this episode after we get through the news group posts and the listener questions. I remarked upon that about that anti-apartheid poster, right, Matt?
Absolutely.
Yes. And there is a post in the news group about people. I don't understand this. And most of the people who responded also responded likewise. But someone, I'm going to read a little brief synopsis. Thanksgiving episode, they shot an anti. It says anti-South Africa. It says anti-apartheid, not anti-South Africa. But I'm pretty disappointed that they decided to sneak in left-wing politics into The Simpsons. There's a similar incident in The Cosbys. It's a sad day when The Simpsons stoop to the level of The Cosbys. I'm by no means trying to justify apartheid. I'm just opposed to knee-jerk liberals trying to turn South Africa into a black and white issue.
Because it was super complicated.
Yeah.
Super complicated.
I'm sure there's, okay, politics at any point, in any place is always very, very complicated. But apartheid is not a complicated issue. Apartheid is a terrible practice that basically treats people like less than people, which is not okay. It's a bad thing.
It's a bad thing. And I guarantee you they weren't trying to push that agenda. That's just the kind of thing that Lisa would definitely have on her wall. She is extremely liberal, as you know, you'll see as the show goes on. And I think they've even established that up to this point, that she's a pretty liberal character. So and, that
yeah, just socially goes to progressive. That. Yeah, exactly. And there were people in the news group who were like, this is not like a liberal issue. This is a person issue. If you are like a good person, you'd want apartheid to end. It's not like it's gray about how if it's bad or not. It's bad. But I think that was interesting. There's one other post I thought was really interesting, which is a list of a guy found at sale at Kmart this week, or that week of that. He in the stuff he bought a Bart nightlight, all 5 Simpsons action figures. There's only 5 then, Matt.
Wow.
There's only 5. Now there's like hundreds, which I can't even, it's dangerous. I can't get into that or I won't stop.
Or you'll need a bigger display case.
I need multiple display cases. Simpsons modeling clay playset. That's pretty interesting. The Simpsons color forms. Simpsons don't have a cow game. I wonder what kind of game is that? I should go look at Board Game Geek. It's probably terrible, but maybe I get it on eBay. A Bart window sticker doll, which we did have one of those. I remember those. And then here's other stuff I saw but didn't buy. A desk pack, which is pencils and stuff. Paint by numbers. A Bart coin bank. A Bart talking doll. Maggie, Lisa, Bart, ragdolls, and Simpsons plastic cups. Man, I'd kill for those cups right now.
Right.
I want it in good condition.
That's
true. You can find crappy ones everywhere, but the ones that are like still like you can see the characters on them.
They need to keep your wrestler cups company.
I do need to keep my wrestler cups, my cups company. Those are that's fine china. You know that?
Of course.
Yeah, Macho Man and Roddy Piper.
Royalty. Absolute royalty.
Yeah, exactly. Randy Orton, John Cena. Nothing? Okay.
No.
I'm talking to the wrong guy. Hey, Russell, hey, any Simpsons fans listen to this? Also wrestling fans? I'm with you, all right? I'm with you.
God.
There's overlap, Matt. There's overlap.
I have no doubt about that.
Bret Hart, there was a Bret Hart Simpsons action figure for that 25 anniversary guest star action figure line they put out.
And you don't have that? How dare you?
It was close. It was a close call. I decided not to buy it. I thought that's all I found in the news group this week. I think those are both little interesting points. Next up is our listener question of the week. This week was favorite Flanders episode. You guys were, this is a crazy amount of responses. I think this is our most popular answer yet. Question yet, I should say. A lot of responses. Keep it up. You guys are doing a great job. First up is Kevin, at Daddy Poirier. Hey, Simpsons Show Pod, best Flanders episode, Boy Scouts in the Hood, Godspeed, Little Doodle. Yeah.
Sugar, do.
Jordan at J Scott 1028. Best Flanders episode. Is there any other option other than Hurricane Nettie? You call him a moron. He just grins moronically. We have Bryant, but this is important. Bryant Flanders at Red So Deep. Given my last name, I feel like I have to answer this one. The answer is Alone Again, Natura Diddly. Which that's a really sad episode. Flanders questions everything that comprises his character in an extremely somber, relatable, and heartbreaking way that is tonally genuine. Honestly, what more could you ask for in an episode about a character and his family? And that is a good episode. It's a good later episode, especially.
Yeah, it's one of the few that really had some heart in it later on.
Yeah. We have Jean-Pierre at JPX9003. Hurricane Nettie, absolutely my fave. His beatnik parents, his insults to Moe and Lenny. The spanking, it's so full of good. We have Sean at ShawneeMac15, definitely Hurricane Nettie, beatnik parents, Homer reading from the index card and the meltdown. Aw, hell, diddly ding dong crap.
He said the C word.
Yeah, Amanda at Drawn to Insanity. We have Alone Again, Natura Diddly. Because who wouldn't date Ned after that video Homer produced?
And we star wipe.
Star wipes. That's the secret for great production. Onto Facebook, we have Chris, who he beat me to it. He posted before I could even post the question. Favorite Ned episode, Hurricane Nettie for the breakdown of all Ned Flanders freakouts. Oh, now calm down, Neddily diddly 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 dither bis, shoddily diddly diddly diddly, gotta be nice, hostility diddly diddly diddly, aw hell diddly ding dong crap. Can't you morons do anything right? To Bart, oh, okay dude, I want you to have a cow, man. Here's a catchphrase you better learn for your adult years. Hey, buddy, got a quarter? Yeah, amazing.
I am shocked and appalled.
We have Davis D, Bart's Comet, which this is a moment I actually had not remembered, and he said it, and this almost overtook my answer. The que sera sera moment on the hill, that moment means everything, among the most poignant and meaningful scenes in Simpsons history. And I think that moment really does speak a lot to Flanders.
And to Homer being right, which is downright terrifying.
That's true. We have Christian M, going to have to go with Hurricane Nettie. Absolutely love the insurance as a form of gambling, and who can forget the University of Minnesota Spankological Protocol. And Joey T, Viva Ned Flanders is not only my favorite Ned episode, but also one of my top five Simpsons episodes ever. Homer teaching Ned how to have fun and be spontaneous is classic. Now finally, last week we had said, send in any answers you want to our email address. If you have something really, really long, there's not enough room for it on Facebook or Twitter, send it to our email, which is simpsonsshowpod@gmail.com. Now, someone took us up on that. Humanist Fox said, here, I'm going to read his email and then a little bit of his 14-page paper he sent us about Flanders that he wrote in for college. He says, give me the longest answers you want. Attached, you'll find a 14-page essay which focuses on home sweet, home diddly dum doodly. As the monkey paw seller warns, behind every wish works grave misfortune. In summary, argued that home sweet home diddly dumb doodly is I've said so many diddlies today, is emblematic of transition in the style of the show from subtle subversive satire to unapologetically acerbic polemic. Wow, that's some good vocab. In the first six seasons, Ned Flanders is a multi-dimensional comic rival to Homer, but starting with this episode, he needlessly becomes a one-dimensional villain. In describing the climax episode, I write, Ned begins to drop water on Bart's head when Homer arrives just in time. He jumps in the air and desperately pushes Bart out of the way, saving him from a peril that is the baptismal. And this is something you mentioned last week, Matt, about when he gets more... What was the word you used?
He goes from being the perfect neighbor stereotype to the crazy evangelical Christian stereotype.
Evangelical. Evangelical is the word I was looking for. Yeah, and there's a shift there. I don't know if I should. Humanist Fox goes on to say, I wrote the essay for an expository writing class at college. I've since changed many of my positions. If I were still in college, I would love to explore the characterization of Flanders from a new perspective. Either way, love it or hate it, an episode that inspires critical analysis can't be all bad. For that reason alone, Home Sweet Home Diddly Dumb Doodly is my favorite Flanders episode. But the paper itself explores a lot of what is happening at this point in the show, which there's he talks about a run of episodes where they're particularly critical of religion and Christianity in specifically, especially in this episode in particular, where Flanders basically kidnaps the children and then is going to force a baptismal on them. And it becomes basically an evil, like the evil Christian man, Flanders is, which when you parallel that with like the moment we mentioned before with the case of Sarah Sarah with Bart's Comet, it's the complete opposite.
That's true. It's like before this point, he's designed to be the incredibly giving, selfless person, like to the point of absurdity. And then after this point, he becomes more of a selfish character, whose only real outlook on life is from a Christian perspective. And rather than trying to be a good person, he's trying to force his perspective on others. It's a very pivotal change for the character.
Yeah, it becomes like a point where, and also in this paper, he talks about how in one particular earlier episodes that we see multiple religious perspectives from multiple religious characters. Like there's the Sunday school teacher, Reverend Lovejoy, and Flanders, and he kind of contrasts all three of these characters, and we see a different version of a religious person. Like we see the person who is hypocritical. We see the person who is kind of. Like Lovejoy, who has kind of become tired of it. He's going through the motions a lot of the time. And Flanders is the genuine one. He's the one who kind of does embody the best parts of Christianity. The forgiveness and love. And at this point in the show, I think it becomes that Flanders just becomes all those things at once. Like they don't have room. They don't make room for more than one kind of Christian character. And so he has to embody everything, the good and the bad. Instead of trying to make it more nuanced, they kind of fall into this trap of having him just be every kind of, you know, if we need some kind of Christian stereotype, Flanders is right there. Let's use him instead of using Lovejoy or another character because Flanders is so recognizable.
That's true. It's like after this point that they stopped emphasizing the good points of Flanders' characters and tended to focus on the more negative or at best neutral aspects of it.
But thank you very much, Humanist Fox. That was, I love it. And if anyone else has any Simpsons papers they want to send to us, I am happy to read them. I read the entire 14 pages. I really find it very interesting. I love it that colleges are, I know there's multiple. I think University of Michigan was the first one I heard about who does Simpsons philosophy classes, which that's something I'd like to sit in on. I think that'd be very interesting. But Hurricane Nettie was our most popular answer by far. It's not even close. Like 5-1. It's crazy how many more people answer Hurricane Nettie. But Matt, you said this was a tough one for you. What's your answer?
Well, it's tough because I feel like there are two real episodes that strip Ned down to his core, and you see what really makes him tick. And Hurricane Nettie is one of those. But I've decided to go with Homer Loves Flanders, because it essentially does a similar thing, without having Ned go off the deep end. It's, for those of you who don't remember the episode, Ned takes Homer to a football game and is basically giving him the essential full court press of being nice to Homer. And Homer realizes, why have I been such a jerk to this guy? He's great. And then Homer decides that he's going to be a really great friend in the same vein and goes way overboard. And you see Flanders just kind of, it's kind of funny that even he doesn't realize at this point that was kind of him before. And he basically breaks down under Homer's friendship. And I think one of the best parts about the episode is Bart and Lisa criticizing the sitcom trope that, oh, next week things will be back to normal. And at the very end of the episode, you get a short vignette is basically exactly that.
Yeah. So, was it Flanders says something to Homer and Homer's like, go to hell or...
Something like that.
Something along those lines. Yeah. Yeah. My answer is Hurricane Nettie.
Of course.
Of course. I can't not... I almost... That Bart's comment, I had forgotten about it. About that, but that is a really great Flanders moment. But that whole episode isn't necessarily a Flanders episode. Hurricane Nettie, it really, it's really gets down to the core of Flanders. We get his history, get background a little bit about his parents, about why he's so repressed, quote unquote. And,
well, if you got spanked for 9 months, you'd probably be pretty repressed too.
Yeah, I agree. Full of great moments. I think most of the listeners have already, the diddly ding dong crap. Yeah, that it's the first time we see Flanders really angry, and Homer with the index cards. Ugh, so good.
Not to mention that fantastic house they build for him.
It's like a madhouse. It's like a carnival. So good. There's no floor. It's just dirt. We painted the dirt.
You ever tried lugging a toilet up a flight of stairs?
Why is there a toilet in the kitchen? you ugly hate-filled man. I may be ugly and hate-filled, but
wait, what's the third thing you said?
What's the third thing?
And you, I don't even know you, but I bet you're a jerk. Which, to be fair, it is Springfield. He probably is in some way.
Was it Lenny?
It was Lenny. Yeah,
yeah, but yeah. Oh, so good. Next week we are doing. What is the listener question? Is what is your favorite holiday episode? There's lots of them. This is the second. We've already covered two of them, and we're not even halfway through the second season. So, actually, three technically. This is favorite holiday episodes, not including Trials of Horror. I should make that specific. No Trials of Horror episodes. There's too many. They're a different category. This is non Halloween episodes. I'll say that. But I will post this question on all our social media. It's on Twitter, which is at Simpsons Show Pod. We are on Facebook at. It's facebook.com/thesimpsonsshowpod. You can email us again, simpsonsshowpod@gmail.com. Now, Matt, it's time for the last segment of the week.
Uh-oh.
It's time for best episode ever.
Best episode ever.
Best episode ever is the segment we end every week with, where we rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every Simpsons episode and how good they are in comparison to one another. Really just an excuse for us to talk about what makes a good Simpsons episode. Matt, where does this one go? It's a tough one. This is a tricky one.
This is a tough one. I have a spot. I have a couple of spots.
A couple spots? Well, we can only choose one.
Well, I know, but I'm going to have to leave it up to you because for me, it's sitting right at either number four or number five. I can't decide if it's better than Simpson and Delilah. I think for you, it probably is. It's just the subtlety of the jokes and how they were funny, but not crazy funny. But to be honest, the heartwarming aspects of the episode, the relationships do kind of push it over Simpson and Delilah for me. So I'm going to put that out there and we're going to see what you say.
I think four is a good spot for it. I think that's, I was going to say, I know it's not one, two, or three.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, and it's somewhere in four, five, six. I think four is a good spot. The moment with the Lisa, you know, lamenting where she is in the family, plus, you know, her interactions with Bart at the end, and We get a lot more background in the family in general. I think it's a good spot. I think they're very similar, Simpson Delilah and this. I think just this is a more well-rounded episode than that is, because it's more of a Homer episode.
That's true.
So, yeah, folks, there you have it. Number 4 on our list is Bart vs. Thanksgiving. You can find this list at our website, which is thesimpsonsshow.com. We post every new episode there. You can stream them or download them. Find our RSS feed, find our links to Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff. You can email us there as well. You can also donate to the show if you want to help us out, support us. This is purely a labor of love. We would really appreciate it if you would do that. What's next week, Matt?
Next week. Bart the Daredevil.
Oh, Bart the Daredevil. Good one. Hopefully it lives up to my expectations, because I remember loving that episode.
I think it will, because I've watched it recently. It is as good as ever.
It's one of those ones I had on tape that I watched over and over again. So, yes, if you guys want to follow me online, you can find me on Twitter at Mixmaster Serial. It's MixMasterCereal. See all the stuff I get up to online. You can listen to my comics book podcast, which is Handsome Boys Comics Hour. It's www.handsomeboyscomicshour.com. Matt is not on social media. You won't find him.
That's true. But if you see a white pit bull mix with brown spots running around Orlando, you can shave a message into her fur and I will get it.
Poor Tide. poor Tide. But with that, I think we'll bring this episode to a close. I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.